الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Last week we were just finishing or beginning the section Mahdhuratul Ihram, the things that are prohibited when we're in the state of Ihram. And we mentioned some of the things for the men and some of the things for the women. And then we will continue at this point. That Imam Ash-Shawkani says, وَلَا يَتَطَيَّبُ بِتِدَاءً وَلَا يَأْخُذُ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَبَشَرِهِ إِلَّا لِعُذْرٍ وَلَا يَرْفُثُ وَلَا يَفْسُقُ وَلَا يُجَادِلُ وَلَا يَنْكِحُ وَلَا يُنْكَحُ وَلَا يَخْطُبُ وَلَا يَقْتُلُ صَيْدًا. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues showing us that which is prohibited, that which is haram, for us to do when we're in the state of ihram, and that is not to perfume or oil your clothing, not to shave or to cut your hair, except if you have an excuse, not to use bad language or to have intercourse with your wives, or to be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general by not obeying a commandment or disobeying a prohibition, and not arguing or debating to the level where someone gets angry, not marrying nor giving someone away in marriage, nor proposing nor hunting. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah with these points here begins with the prohibition of oiling yourselves down in your clothing. And he takes this from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Safwan ibn Ya'la ibn Umayya. Anna Ya'la kana yaqulu li Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiyallahu anhu, laytani ara nabiyya Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hina yanzilu alayhi. Falamma kana nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi-ja'rana وعلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوب قد أظل به عليه معه ناس من أصحابته فيهم عمر إذ جاءه رجل عليه جبة صوف متضمخ بطيبا
فقال يا رسول الله كيف ترى في رجل أحرم بعمرة في جبة بعدما تضمخ بطيب؟ فنظر إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ساعة ثم سكت. فجاءه الوحي فأشار عمر بيده إلى يعيا ابن أمية تعال، فجاء يعلى فأدخل رأسه فإذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محمر الوجه يغط ساعة ثم سري عنه. فقال أين الذي سألني عن العمرة آنفا؟ فالتمس الرجل فجيء به، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما الطيب الذي بك فاغسله ثلاث مرات، وأما الجبة فانزعها ثم اصنع في عمرتك ما تصنع في حجك. And this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Safwan ibn Ya'la ibn Umayyah was with, or he said to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, I wish I can see the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam while revelation is being revealed to him. And then when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam was in the place called Ji'rana, and he had on a clothing that was covering his body, and he had some of his companions with him, and amongst them was Umar. When a man came and he had on a wool, I don't know what you call it, a hooded garment, and it was soaked with oil, his body and the garment. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you think about a man who has got into the state of ihram for umrah and he has on this hooded garment and he's all perfumed up? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him for a little while and then became quiet. And then revelation came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he motioned to Ya'la ibn Umayyah, come on. So when Ya'la came and he looked in, he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his face was extremely red and he was sweating, until after a while the sweat just stopped. Then he said, where is the one who asked me about that question of Umrah a minute ago, or just a while ago? So they got the person and they brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as for the tlib, as for those oils that you have on yourself, then wash yourself three times. And as for your hooded garment, then take it off. And do in the Umrah the same thing that you do in the Hajj. Here we see in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that it's not permissible for the one who wants to get into the state of ihram to have on clothes soaked in oils and perfume, or even himself, as Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah is saying. However, just to put a little oil on yourself just before you put on your ihram clothing, then this is okay. What's referred to in this hadith is the man is like, you put baby oil all over your body, he puts a type of oil with a scent all over his body, and does the same thing to his garments. So you can almost like smell him a mile away or whatever. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam have prohibited that. However, just to put on a little oil for yourself before you put on your ihram garment, then this is recommended, as we see from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where she said, كُنْتُ أُطَيِّبُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِيَحْرَامِهِ حِينَ يُحْرِمُ وَلِحِلِّهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَطُوفَ بِالْبَيْتِ. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that I used to put on some tlib or some oils on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam at the time that he was going to put his ihram on. And when he came out of the state of ihram before he made the tawaf, I used to put some tlib or some oils on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we see from this point of Imam al-Shawkani that you don't soak yourselves in the oils or your clothing, but that you just put a little on, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam did. Also we see in this hadith, and this is a side point that it's nice to mention, that the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is revelation. That man asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a question, the Prophet didn't answer him from his own desires. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ.
He doesn't speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him.
And the sunnah is revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as we see here, as we see here in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Sunnah was revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as we see here.
There's no ayah to tell you, don't oil yourselves all the way down and wear a hooded garment when you and don't make, wear a hooded garment when you make Hajj. But we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face got red, he was sweating until it dried up. Revelation was being revealed to him. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, his close companion, knows what the revelation looked like. Told the other man, now look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, this is how he looks when revelation is being revealed to him. This sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or in the other language, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, this is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why maybe we should stop saying that it's the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as revealed to him by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is also advice for myself and for whoever is teaching the people, that they shouldn't speak until they have knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Prophet, and someone asks him a question, he don't answer until he gets the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much more so on us? If someone asks us a question and we know we have no revelation, no Quran or no Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can we answer a question if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't answer it? The next point that Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah he brings is that you can't cut your hair. Except that if you have a reason to. And this is all of your hair on your head and your pubic hair, the hair under your arms. It's not permissible to cut this hair when you're in the state of ihram, except if you have an excuse. And we see this in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Ka'b ibn Ajara radiallahu anhu an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala la'allaka adhaaka hawamuka qala na'am ya Rasulallah faqala Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ihlaq ra'saka wassum thalathata ayyamin aw at'im سِتَّةَ مَسَاكِينَ أَوِنْسُكْ بِشَارٍ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to Ka'b ibn Ajara radiallahu anhu, he said, I think that some of the vermin, I was trying to find the English word for this word, they call it vermin, it's some type of harmful insects that can get on you. Not just, I wanted to say if it was lice, but this word is broader than just one word, lice. Any type of insect that can get into your hair that can cause you some harm, I don't know if it's a tick, lice, whatever, anything harmful, then this is what is meant by the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's looking at the man, and the way I guess he's scratching his hair, whatever, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it seems like there's some harmful insects bothering you. So he said, yes, Ya Rasulallah, it is. So the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, told him, and they're in the state of ihram. He told them, shave your hair. And this is another point to mention, why you have to understand the Arabic and don't give a literal translation. The literal translation says, shave your head. But it means to shave your hair and then fast 3 days or feed 6 poor people or slaughter a sheep. So here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, we see during the Hajj time that he gave a license or concession to the person who has some insects in his hair or whatever, that he can shave his hair in order to kill those lice or whatever that he has with him. Without this exception, it's not permissible for us to shave our hair when we're in the state of ihram. The next point that Imam al-Shawkani brings is that you don't use bad language or have relations with your wife, you don't disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you don't argue. And he brings this from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 197, فَلَا رَفَطَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, there's no rafath, And the ulama, they give two meanings to this, rafath, that there's no using of bad language, and there's no relations with your wife, there's no fusuq, and this is any type of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's no arguing in the Hajj. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prohibits these things in this ayat when we're in the state of ihram or while we're there performing the rites of Hajj. Just as we see in the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, He said, whoever makes Hajj and he doesn't use bad language or have sex with his wife or disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he returns like the day that his mother gave birth to him, showing that he will be free from all of the sins that he committed if he stays away from these things during the Hajj. These points here that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us to stay away from, we might be more affected by it because of our character than some of the other Muslims, and the Muslims need to be very mindful of these points. Because in general, unfortunately, the Muslims still use bad language. And if it slips on Hajj, then all you're doing is just denying yourself to be amongst the people who are going to come back with all of their sins forgiven. So people have to make sure that when they get to Hajj that they watch their language and that they don't backbite and don't spread namima, ghibah, or use curse words or what have you. And he has to stay away from relations with his wives, and we're going to explain what time of the Hajj that having relations with your wives is going to be permissible, inshallah ta'ala. And he shouldn't be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is going to be the hardest thing for the people all year long who live in sin. He thinks that now, and this is a bad attitude of some of the Muslims, they think, okay, as in the other countries, when I get a little older, after I commit all my sins, I'm going to go to Hajj, get a fresh start, then I'll be old, I only got a little more years to live, then I'll be okay. You've been living your life in disobedience, how all of a sudden you going to stop cold turkey one day and be obedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? You don't even know how to obey Allah. And you disobey Him on so many points, you don't even know what you're disobedient on. This issue of staying away from disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the people have to practice this deen all year long, all the time, so when Hajj comes, they don't fall into something. And you'll see it there when the people go and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. The people who are ignorant of this deen, they're just there happy, doing their best, constantly sinning, and don't even know it. Why they don't know it? Because they're not learning this deen all year long. And they're not trying to practice this deen, they're not trying to know what is halal from haram, they're not trying to know what's tawheed from shirk, iman from kufr, bid'ah from sunnah. And you see the people all year long saying, why are those brothers always talking about such and such as haram? Why are they always talking about that shirk? Why are they talking about this is kufr? Why are they talking about that thing over there is bid'ah? Because this is the deen of al-Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have prohibited us from these things. And if we don't watch it all year long, when Hajj comes, people will be in it. You'll see the people, as when we get there, you'll see everybody clean shaving. How you shave your beard to get into the state of ihram? Then you let it grow a little, because in the ihram you can't shave your hair. Soon as you get out, cut it again. And you're supposed to shave your hair and grow your beard. They're going to grow their hair on their head and shave their beard. And they'll be smiling and happy, thinking that they're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the kuffar here, as we see in America, when they want to get sharp, get a nice fresh shave, get his hair done, whatever. Okay, the Muslims, they think that this is okay. This is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So if we don't get on this deen during the year, then it's going to be hard to stay away from this disobedience during the Hajj. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us stay away from this disobedience. And this last point is the point of arguing. We argue all year long. During Hajj, we have to, inshallah ta'ala, let it go. During Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, this is time to let all that arguing go. Now this arguing, inshallah ta'ala, is when you get someone angry to the level, when you get someone to the level of anger. You arguing back and forth to everybody, start raising their voices and getting all heated. And you'll see it there. As on the Hajj, it'll be hot, inshallah ta'ala. It'll be crowded. 2 million people come into one city, can imagine how crowded it will be. Then all of the frustration of pushing and shoving and waiting in line for food and waiting in line for the bathroom and what have you. People tend to get argued. I was here first. No, you wasn't. Yes, I was. Until he's arguing, until he does, as the people say, he blew his hajj. Really, he blows the chance to come back having all of his sins forgiven. So these points, you know, we fall into them quite regularly during the year. And we have to make sure that we try to stay away from these things during the hajj, inshallah ta'ala. And maybe amongst those things will be some of the differences of an opinion that are heavy topics for argument during the year. It's better to leave those alone. We got some rites to perform, inshallah ta'ala, reading the Quran, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be engaged in this instead of the arguing. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he goes on to say, not to get married, nor to marry someone off, nor to propose. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collected by Imam Muslim, where he says, لا ينكح المحرم ولا ينكح ولا يخطب. Where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is in the state of ihram, the muhrim, that he doesn't get married, nor does he marry someone off, like he's the wali and he's marrying someone off, nor does he propose to get married when he's in the state of ihram. There's a little discussion here on this point, as you have the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوج ميمونة وهو محرم. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married Maymuna and he was in the state of ihram. Here we have the statement of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام prohibiting us from getting married, and then we have the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married Maymuna when he was in the state of ihram. However, we have another hadith from Imam Muslim عن ميمونة بنت الحارث أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوجها وهو حلال. In this hadith of Muslim, Maymuna herself, she says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم married me and he was halal, meaning he was not in the state of ihram at the time that he married me. Of course, the position which is most correct is the position of Maymuna, as she knows best when the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام married her than her young nephew Abdullah ibn Abbas in the Hibr, or the scholar of this Ummah radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So here the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام didn't marry, and it's best to take this narration. And we have to point out, as some people think, that when we take our understanding and our practical application of this Quran and the Sunnah from our Salaf al-Salih, some people think, you see, the Salaf, they make mistakes too. Yes, they're human beings and everybody makes mistakes. However, you see that the mistakes were always corrected by another companion. The mistakes were always corrected by another companion, and this is from the statement of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا تجتمع أمتي على الضلالة. Where the Prophet ﷺ said that my ummah will not all agree on something wrong, on error. And it's proof that the companions of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, yes, some of them made mistakes, and when they did, the other ones came to correct them. Like we have the example when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam died, Umar ibn al-Khattab, from the scholars of the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and among his closest companions, put his sword up and said, let me hear somebody say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is dead, I'm going to be the first one to cut his head off. And to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came in and just laid it out. Listen, Umar, put your sword away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is dead. Whoever used to worship Muhammad, know he's dead. And know that whoever worshiped Allah, that Allah is the living and will never die. And then he recited the verse in Surah to Ali Imran, showing that, are you going to disbelieve after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So people amongst the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the Salaf in general make mistakes. And no one's saying that they're free from error. However, there's always someone to bring the truth. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this is just an example of it. And this is just to remove the doubt of the enemies of Islam who tried to say, you're following your righteous predecessors, they made mistakes too. Are you going to follow them in their mistakes? No, because the other people who were with them helped correct them in their mistakes. Like we're trying to help one another, inshallah ta'ala, now by correcting our mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next point, Imam al-Shawkani says that you don't do hunting of the animals. And this is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 95, where Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ. O you who believe, don't do this hunting when you're in the state of ihram. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, وَحُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَرِّ مَا دُمْتُمْ حُرُمًا. And it has been prohibited to you hunting land animals while you're in the state of ihram. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited the believers from hunting when they're in the state of ihram. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he goes on after this point to say, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ فَعَلَيْهِ جَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعْمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ. Then he says, rahimahullah, Imam al-Shawkani, and whoever kills one of these, this game, or this hunting on land, then his punishment is exactly that he has to give in charity that which he killed. يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ. And we'll see the translation of that inshallah ta'ala with this ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 95. Inshallah we'll try to read the whole ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْتُلُوا الصَّيْدَ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمٌ وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءٌ مِثْلُ مَا قَتَلَ مِنَ النَّعْمِ يَحْكُمُ بِهِ ذَوَى عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ هَدْيًا بَالِغَ الْكَعْبَةِ أَوْ كَفَّارَةٌ طَعَامُ مَسَاكِينَ أَوْ عَدْلُ ذَلِكَ صِيَامًا لِيَذُوقَ وَبَالَ أَمْرِهِ عَفَا اللَّهُ عَمَّا سَلَفَ وَمَنْ عَادَ فَيَنْتَقِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. And this is the translation of Muhsin Khan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as he translates, O you who believe, kill not game while you are in the state of ihram for hajj or umrah. And whosoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an offering brought to the Kaaba of an eatable animal. And he brings the example of the sheep or the goat or the cow, etc., equivalent to the one he killed, as adjudged by two just men amongst you. Or for expiation, he should feed poor persons or its equivalent in fasting, that he may taste the heaviness or the punishment of his deed. Allah has forgiven what is past, but whosoever commits it again, Allah will take revenge from him, and Allah is Al-Azizun Buntiqam, or the Mighty, the one who is quick to take revenge. And this is what we have time for today, is these points that Imam al-Shawkani brings that are prohibited when we're in the state of ihram. And this is to really oil yourselves down in your clothing and to shave your hair, except if you have an excuse. It's prohibited to use bad language and to have relations with your wife, except for the times that we'll explain, inshallah ta'ala, and to be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in general, and to argue and debate. It's prohibited to marry. It's prohibited to marry someone off. It's prohibited to propose. And it's prohibited to kill animals for game. And whoever does it, then the punishment is to give an animal like it, as judged by two righteous Muslims. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله. I don't know if there are any questions related to this topic we're taking, inshallah. Yes. Yes.
Are there some of the things, the prohibitions, that have an expiation that will allow you to keep your
hajj
intact, and some that there is no expiation for?
Yeah. JazakAllah khairan. We're going to cover, inshallah, as this was just one of the examples. when it shows what are the expiations for somebody doing something wrong, those points are going to be clear. For the other points, when people do something wrong, I'm the first or I'm the last one to know of any type of expiation for those things. And for this reason, we're going to encourage the believers all the way through that they make sure they stay on what they're supposed to do. Because after you don't do what you're supposed to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Last year, alhamdulillah, we went every single day over the Hajj. I don't know how many times before the Hajj. The day of the Hajj, we went over everything we would do that day. Just before we did whatever we were doing that day, we went over that point as we were going all the way through the Hajj. You couldn't believe it that someone would come and say, remember we went over that and all of us went to do it? We faked y'all out and came back and didn't do it. Now what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. For the things that we're going to cover, inshallah ta'ala, that's clear from the Quran and the Sunnah that you can do this if you fall into that mistake, inshallah we'll know it. Outside of that, the people will need a verdict from the, or a fatwa from the ulama to deal with that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes, Hanifa, something.
You had mentioned the prohibition of shaving after the stable is done. The ability of shaving before you go into it. One shaves himself prior to his,
I see what you're saying. Is it recommended to shave ourselves before we get into the state of the haram because we can't? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But what we do know is you can't shave when you're in the state of ihram. In general, this is from the act of the fitr that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam encourages in general. So I don't know if just before the state of ihram, but just in general, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had made it prohibited to go 40 days without shaving your hairs or cutting your fingernails or your toenails. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Regarding the beard, is a person allowed to take a handful of their beard shaved underneath that?
This is after the state of ihram. In the state of ihram, it's prohibited to shave your hair except if you have some lice or whatever in your hair that's harmful, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had explained to that man. There's no permissibility of shaving any hair when you're in the state of the ihram. Are you referring to after the state of ihram?
Yes.
After the state of ihram, I think maybe in one of the future classes, inshallah ta'ala, when we get to that point, we'll bring some of the narrations of the sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and how they shaved their heads and whatever else they did after they came out of the state of ihram, inshallah ta'ala. You're from where, akhi? Where are you from?
That's the Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a big issue of difference of opinion I think you brothers have there. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll bring the narrations for whoever wants to accept it can, and whoever doesn't, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Yes.
Okay, this is about the
yeah, we're going to get to that. The brother is asking, what is the state of ihram? As soon as you make the statement, labbaik Allahumma bi umrah or bi hajj, now you're in the state of ihram. When you're in that state of ihram, as we're covering these points that are prohibited, everything else is going to be permissible. So when you're in the state of the ihram, it means you won't be doing any of these things. You won't be using bad language. You won't be shaving your hair. You won't be killing animals. You won't be wearing all of this perfume on yourselves. If you're the men, you won't be wearing a hooded garment. You won't be wearing pants. You won't be wearing a turban. You won't be wearing like that. This is, the women won't be wearing niqabs. They won't be wearing gloves. This, all of this, when you don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, that means you're in the state of ihram. And it comes from that statement when you're at the miqat, when you get to the miqat and you make your statement, now you're in the state of ihram. Just like when you say Allahu Akbar, you're in the salah. It's the same way for the hajj, inshallah. Someone had a question over here? Yes.
Any problem, is there any problem combing the hair and coming out, falling out?
No.
The brother asks if you comb your hair and it comes out, is there any problem with it? No. And if you scratch it and it comes out, there's still no problem with it. The only problem is shaving. This is what we have been prohibited from, shaving your hair, cutting your hair when you're in the state of ihram. If you scratch and if you comb or whatever, that's not shaving. Nobody calls combing other than combing. And nobody calls scratching other than scratching. And shaving and cutting your hair is what has been prohibited. And this only comes when the people are destroyed. As the Prophet ﷺ said, Ala halaka al-mutanatti'un, Ala halaka al-mutanatti'un, Ala halaka al-mutanatti'un. Aren't the people who go too far destroyed? Aren't the people who go too far destroyed? Aren't the people who go too far destroyed? The Prophet ﷺ said, do this. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, don't do that. Okay. When you keep on going, man, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from shaving our hair, that must mean that He doesn't want any hair to come off. If I comb my hair comes out, and this must mean all of this exaggeration destroyed the people who came before us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from exaggerating, as we see from this narration of Imam Muslim, that the people who dig too deep are destroyed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, "Iyyakum wal ghulu, fa innama al ghulu halaka man kana qablakum aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Beware of exaggeration in this deen, because the people before you only went astray because they exaggerated too much, because they went too far. Isa ibn Maryam, because he was born the virgin birth from Maryam, the people said, Subhanallah, a man doesn't have a father, he got to be better than everybody else. Okay, he's our Lord, we worship him. This is how the Christians went astray, and this is how the Muslims can go astray when they dig too deep into some of the questions. I don't know who we had on Ilmu Online other than, if the brothers in Philly, if you had any other questions, we'll take them. If not, then the brothers in Asbury, inshallah. The name of that book is called A to Z. I don't know if there are any, if there are no more questions. I think next week, as I'm going, it looks like we might have to start on next Monday, inshallah ta'ala, going every day until we cover the fiqh of Hajj and Umrah in light of the book of Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, Adurul Bahiyya, with the text related to each point that he brings, inshallah ta'ala. However, for the brothers and sisters who will be making Hajj with us, we'll be using this book, Hajj and Umrah, from A to Z by Mahmoud, Mamdouh Muhammad. We'll be using this book, the brothers who are here can see it. And for the other brothers, the brother Abdul Rahim Reigns, we'll let them know. We'll be reading from that book, inshallah ta'ala, and if there are any points to clarify or whatever, or to add on or to subtract from this book, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be using this book once we get there, inshallah ta'ala. there's anything left. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.